When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Did you have a nice summer full of blueberries and peaches and cream? Well, now it's time to get back to work. There are 10,000 promised, 100,000, I don't know if they're going to show up, angry demonstrator leftists coming to Chicago to wreak havoc. Merchants are pounding nails into the walls to put the wood up around their windows. And we don't know what's going to happen. I have a feeling it won't be that bad, but I just hope for the city's sake. It's a great city. To iron all this out and to talk it out is none other than Tom Bevin, president and co-founder of Real Clear Politics, my friend. And he's here with us today, along with Jeff Carlin, WGN Radio, the co-host here, my friend and producer, who produced brilliantly the Policati Project, which should win awards. And me, John Cass, not brilliant, but just editor-in-chief of John Cass News. We always get a good cup, or at least an honest cup, of Midwestern common sense. And where are you with the leftists coming to Chicago and Brandon Johnson about ready to have another one of his panic attacks with the media not knowing how to kiss Kamala's behind? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way. Absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, Tom Bevin, president and co-founder of Real Clear Politics, as we begin the Democratic National Convention.
Are you feeling the joy, John? Are you feeling the joy?
Yeah, I do. I'm writing a field guide for reporters. That's how much I love it.
Okay.
I'm so happy that they're there. You know, I don't know what they're going to lie about next, but, you know, they'll protect something as long as it's Democrat. Tom, I don't know. What do you expect out of this thing?
I expect it'll be a very well choreographed show for the people. And, you know, there's going to be, they kind of stuck Biden at the beginning, which I thought was a little disrespectful, perhaps. I mean, the guy is supposed to be on Mount Rushmore. Shouldn't he be maybe Thursday night instead of Monday night?
Well, they're not only putting him on, they're putting him on so they could brush him aside.
Right.
Like, get out of here, old man.
They're going to, you know, yes.
What, there should be a.
They're probably going to start playing like the Oscar music in the middle of his speech. Like, okay.
Or a commercial where Nancy Pelosi rolls him in a wheelchair off a cliff.
Yeah.
Somebody made
And then on Wednesday night, it is, we'll call it Bubba night. It's going to be Bill Clinton and Tim Walz. And they are going to, you know, really lay it on thick for the working class voters in the upper Midwest.
What about the white man's tacos, Tom?
maybe he will be serving white man tacos. We'll see.
What is that? Mayonnaise on white bread? Something.
And like then, that. Yeah, right. And then we will, you know, get the coronation of Kamala Harris, who 3 months ago was you know, sort of inept, not well liked even among her own party.
They called her a loser.
Liability.
Liability. Thank you. Yes. And now she's a transformational figure, the likes of which we haven't seen since Obama. And maybe even before that. I mean, she is literally that fantastic. And all of her, you know, sort of flaws have been turned into
quirks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just not better than that. I mean, she used to. There was this article I've referenced this a couple times, so forgive me, because it just absolutely blew my mind. You know, she was known for these sort of like word salads and be unburdened by what has been and all that stuff. And, yeah. And this opinion writer said, you know, she's got this unique way of speaking. It's a prosecutor's precision with pearls of wisdom. And I thought to myself, that is the most, you know, peeps. Sort of like cult-like North Korean press that we've seen, and we've seen a lot of it recently for her. I mean, the cover of Time magazine and all this stuff. It's pretty ridiculous.
Or it's a chicken bleep review of a bad movie, you know.
I will say this, and I tweeted this out this morning. You know, she came out with this price gauging or gouging, depending on, you know, who you're listening to, proposal for basically, you know, government mandated control over prices for grocery stores and food suppliers and all that. And even her allies in the media were like, hold on a second there. You know, the Washington Post wrote an editorial calling it a gimmick. Catherine Rampell, who's a liberal columnist for the Post, said this is, you know, sort of crazy. Even CNN was like, it's going to create more problems than it solves. So, you know, this is
one of those columns. Like if they're calling you a commie, you might want to not do.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Price controls.
Yeah. And it's like she went 2 weeks to maybe even longer than that, actually, maybe 3 weeks. It was July 22nd when she officially Biden dropped out on the 21st. So, at least two and a half weeks without saying a word about policy. And it's all vibes. It's all the joy is back. It's all that. And then so she finally comes out with a couple of policy proposals. And one of them is to steal Trump's idea, whether you think it's good or bad, that no tax on tips, but just to blatantly steal it. I mean, Democrats haven't mentioned this idea ever, not once.
Wait a second. I think that's totally unfair of you, Tom. Because this is the same woman who plagiarized Martin Luther King Jr., well, and she wasn't called to account.
Haven't we all, John? but no. And then her second proposal is, you know, this sort of Soviet-style Venezuelan, you know, price controls, price caps,
right?
Which, you know, is sort of really left wing. And then the other thing was this, you know, her housing proposal. She wants to give everybody, and not everybody, but certain people $25,000 in government subsidies so they can put a down payment on a new home, which, you know,
that won't inflate the price of real estate.
Of course not. Right. Like, right. I mean, look, as a homeowner, I just saw my property value go up $25,000. That's great. But obviously, what that'll do is increase housing prices, which is going to increase inflation, which is exactly what you don't want to do. So her policy proposals have sort of thrown a bit of a wet blanket on the vibes that we're heading into this convention. It's all about the vibes.
Were very gaseous. You know, there was not really a lot of meat there, but they were like basically bean vibes. And then she's come to the point where her vibes are dissipating, and what's left? Is that when the reckoning comes and the poll numbers start dropping? Because I have a gut feeling that's when it happens.
I mean, we're going to have to see, right? And there is such a thing as, and Sean Trendy and I have talked about this in polling, called response bias, right? Which is, you know, when people are feeling good about their political party, they're more eager to answer the phone and to answer questions from pollsters. And so you have a lot of Democrats who, you know, are now eager to speak to pollsters, and it can influence, you know, the what you see in the data. Look, it's certainly true that she's energized the party. She's doing better with, you know, African-American voters than Biden was. She's doing better with young voters than Biden was. So that stuff, I think, is real. And it has made this a close race. But, you know, it, as far as like, I think we're back to 2016, right? Which is, you know, maybe she's going to end up ahead a couple points in the national polls. But all of these swing states are going to be very, very close, divided or decided by a few thousand votes here or there. And it's going to come down to the ground game. And, you know, Democrats have proven they've got a pretty good ground game. So it's not out of the question that she could end up winning this thing. And it's certainly not out of the question that Donald Trump could, you know, do what he did in 2016, which is get a lot of people. You know, the polls might be underestimating his support and he might end up shocking some people. So it's going to be close. It's going to be really close. And I suspect there's going to be, you know, same thing we saw before. Chaos, recounts, lawsuits,
hysteria.
I'm not sure we're going to know who the winner is on November 6th or November 7th or November 8th. And it'll be one of those deals again, which is
Fox News anchors melting down, not knowing which way to jump. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not great for the country to go through this kind of like, you know, trauma every 4 years to figure out who's going to lead us.
Oh, really? You care about the country now? Okay.
Me?
Yeah.
How dare you, John?
Well, we are in a difficult, I have to agree, we are in a difficult position. And I keep seeing her jump, running up and down on stage, clapping her hands. And I wonder, is there a cultural or linguistic anthropologist that you know of? Maybe Jeff can do it. Because I'm listening to her voice, and she plays this kind of purring. It's rather off-putting. It's like, you know, you're 60 years old, honey. I don't want to hear your sexy voice. But she plays that kind of kitteny voice, and it's just driving me up a wall. And is it because I can't stand liberal leftists, or is it just her?
I think it's a leftist thing, John. But I think that the difference between 2016 and now, I mean, remember the whole "they go low, we go high" thing.
Oh yeah, right.
And they've thrown that out, right? I mean, they're going the same way, trying to pull out every sort of, you know, tactic themselves. I mean, before they had the media to do it for them, but now it feels like they're the ones taking the shots. They're taking gratuitous shots at Vance, they're taking gratuitous shots at Trump every chance she gets. And so I think that edge is what's different this time around.
But they're doing it as happy warriors, Jeff.
Right.
Like, would you stop? Yeah. She, you know, Trump and Vance are the sort of dark, angry, right, you know, white male incels. And Tim Walz, on the other hand, he's the good kind of white male that you want.
Mayonnaise and tacos.
Yeah, and white guy nachos, John. It's cucumber slices and cottage cheese.
I would suggest tea sandwiches with cucumbers and white bread is good.
It's too classy for the Midwest.
And mayonnaise and chives. But I don't allow white what is it? Mayonnaise and taco. What tacos? Mayonnaise?
No good. No good. But what do you think, Tom? Because my worry, you know, being a Denzian of Chicago, and I, you know, for those who don't know, I mean, a friend of mine owns a business, and I help deliver all around the city, the suburbs. So I'm driving the roads, every highway, every week. And I cannot tell you a time I've seen so many out of state driver's plates, license plates in the city, in the suburbs, and people not knowing where they're going. And lots of people are in town for this thing that aren't from the town. And it worries me that we're going to see some serious problems in Chicago this week, because they're claiming that's what these groups, these, you know, anti-Israel, these Antifa, whatever you want to call them, these groups are part of their plan is to cause chaos. Do you think that, how does that reset the table if she's put up this terrible, you know, economic plan, and then all of a sudden the city's burning and they can distract and blame Trump? You know, how does that change things for her?
Well, I mean, they're going to blame Trump for the anti-Israel protests if they get violent. I don't know about that. Look, for a while I thought maybe the anti-Israel protests and the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas folks would would, you know, wouldn't show up. That because, you know, Harris sort of has been, I think, a little more favorably disposed to their position. She didn't choose Josh Shapiro. That was seen as sort of a victory. Instead of taking that as a victory, they kind of took it as being like emboldened to say, okay, we've got, you know, we got one notch on our belt, and now we're gonna up the stakes. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I honestly don't know if there's going to be a ton of protests and it's going to get really nasty or not. There probably will be some outside agitators who are here just because they like to, you know, reminds me of like the, what was it? The meeting, like the World Economic Meeting or something in Seattle a couple decades ago, where these folks just they're just anarchists. They just run around and, you know, break stuff because
those are the groups I'm worried about.
Look, I think they're and they don't care. They don't care anything about, you know, party politics or who it's going to hurt or help. They just want to, you know, be involved in
the last breaking political stuff. The last political party that thought they could appease the Bolsheviks were the Mensheviks. And I don't think anyone's heard from them since 1918. I think they were just devoured on the spot.
Well, listen, I do think it's going to be interesting to see how Brandon Johnson responds, because he's given a couple of interviews and talking about, you know, his background as a community organizer. And, you know, he's like, I've walked with these people. I've been in their shoes. And we're going to have a real tolerant attitude toward, you know, toward people's, you know, right to free speech and right to protest. And at the same time, you know, we're going to have a great convention, and maybe that'll happen, but maybe it won't. And I will have to see at the end of the day. I mean, if the city's on fire when the Democrats leave town, you know, we'll know that he didn't live up to that. But I honestly don't know whether it's going to be a big deal, disruptive deal, or whether it's not. I mean, there wasn't anything at all in Milwaukee. We couldn't find a single protester up there. Yeah. And, you know, and then the other thing is, well, if there are some protesters out, is the media going to cover it? Are they going to ignore it? Are they just going to pretend it doesn't exist? It'll be hard to ignore if there's actual, you know, fires and looting and violence. But if it's just a few people outside the United Center sort of, you know, chanting and wandering around, I doubt they'll get much attention.
But if they start doing like a hunting, let's hunt the Jews or something like that, yes, then they will get attention, because that's what they want. You know, that's what they want. And Shapiro's not with that group. He's a Democrat, and he's ignored by Kamala Harris. And I guess that appeases them somewhat, but I don't know. I really don't think you can appease them. But I heard that from one of your biggest fans, Victor Davis Hanson, the other day when I was listening to his podcast. And he said the first thing he does when he starts off his day at 4 o'clock in the morning, California time, is to read Real Clear Politics and listen to select podcasts. So
there you go.
There you go.
Right on. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how everybody responds. So.
Now, I have to ask you before we go, what about Susan Crabtree? I have to give her props because she's been on fire with this Secret Service stuff, writing about the Secret Service story. Tell us a little bit about her. What's she doing?
So Susan has been actually writing about the Secret Service for like a decade. Yeah. And she covered, you know, there were scandals that go all the way back to when Obama was in office, and, you know, there was some Secret Service guys who got some like prostitutes down in South America. And, you know, it's been kind of a, there have been scandals in, you know, over the years, through this organization. So she's well sourced there. She's as well sourced as anybody. Yeah. But I think what happened, the assassination attempt really cracked open. I mean, she's getting a ton of information now from people within the Secret Service who are just absolutely, you know, angry, mortified at, you know, why this happened, how this happened. And so the floodgates are kind of open. And so she's been, and by the way, before that even happened, though, she had been you know, she had been breaking news that incident that happened at Dover Air Force Base with this female agent who kind of had like a breakdown. Susan broke that story. And now she's just been breaking like news. It's hard to keep up with her. She's breaking news about every other day.
Well, what?
And she's,
what is
yeah.
this breastfeeding thing? What? I don't understand. After the assassination attempt, the Secret Service allegedly, reportedly, according to Susan, had an agent abandon her post so she could do breastfeeding.
This is like earlier this week at Trump's rally in North Carolina. Yeah, right. Susan had three sources tell her that one of the female agents, this is minutes before the rally was to start. This wasn't like, you know, hours before or whatever.
Right.
Left her post so she could breastfeed her child in this room that's usually reserved for other things. That her family was there, which you're not supposed to have any of your family at these things. You're certainly not supposed to have your kids there. So she broke like this agent broke all sorts of rules and protocols by doing what she did. And and this is something now that, you know, Congress is going to be looking into. Susan broke the story on the cocaine in the White House too. That story came back, and now Congress is investigating what's going on there. So she's been absolutely on fire, and I have to give props to our other guy, Phil Wegman. We have a pretty small team. It's Phil and Susan and Sean and a couple others, but they are absolutely crushing it this cycle. I mean, Phil's had a bunch of great scoops and profiles, and so our reporters are absolutely killing it this cycle, and they're getting a lot. They're finally getting the attention they deserve for the work they're doing, because they're really, really good.
Do you think it's difficult to have such fine reporters, and you want to put them on the front page of your website, Real Clear Politics, ecumenical as always, but is there any hesitancy, like, maybe I shouldn't do that because they're on our team and they should
back off? Not at all.
I'm glad you don't. I'm glad.
Yeah, I mean, look, the front page is a sort of a mix of news and analysis and opinion, right?
Right.
And so we certainly like to feature our people, and you know, a lot of times we will run them on the front page. I would say most of the time. Occasionally they'll write a story that's not really front page news, and we'll put that maybe on the left column. But by and large, yeah, we like to feature our people because they do great work. And you know Carl Cannon, our Washington bureau chief. I mean, he's like, he calls himself the last of the bison, and you're probably one of the other bison out there, John.
I linked to a piece that he'd done about me last week about the Soros sisters.
Yeah.
Included that.
So anyway, Cannon's very, he edits Phil and Susan, and you know, we like to make sure that their work is. They are news people. They are not opinion writers, right? And they don't – sometimes they'll write analysis. But, I mean, for the most part, they are news reporters that are following the news, chasing the news, breaking the news. And so for them, you know, their Carl makes sure that they operate within, you know, a certain framework. If they're going to write a story, they have to get the other side of the story. They have to treat, you know, all opinions and sides of a story respectfully.
Beware the bison. Beware the bison.
Yeah. So
don't go left or right with him. Right.
Yeah. So no, we absolutely love to feature their work because I think they're two of the best reporters in the country. And like I said, they deserve all the accolades they've been getting.
How have you been as we're approaching the convention in essentially your hometown? I've always hated that when I was covering conventions and they would happen in Chicago, I'd get sick to my stomach because there's no relaxation when it happens in your town. Mm. You have to be on top. At least that's the frenzy that they whipped us into, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I did enjoy the enjoying the conventions being back right after not having them in 2020. So it's been eight years since we've done this. So it's kind of fun to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
And typically, you know, that's the longest that I ever really spend away from my family in this business is going to conventions or back to back. So it's been nice that, you know, one was just up the road and this one's in the hometown. So I don't have to spend a ton of time away from my kids who are all, you know, going back to school and starting sports, and I'm coaching football and whatever. So, I think it's actually good. And I'm kind of glad it worked out this way. I still don't know why Democrats chose Chicago. I think they had better options, but we'll see whether that was a smart choice or not. I mean, by this time next week, we'll have a much better understanding of whether that was a faux pas or not.
Well, one thing I do know, and is that neither you nor I will collect on our bets about Kamala. I mean, Michelle Obama as the Democratic nominee. Yes, Jeff Carlin, is that true?
I think this is the final scene on that. Maybe
put the button on it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, and I will say the one thing about the convention being in town is that suddenly the city figured out how to make the trains on time, the buses on time, everything's clean. All the homeless seem to have homes this week, and it's amazing. I don't know.
I drove down Lakeshore Drive today. Actually, I had to go down and pick up credentials. There were a lot of tents in the park. I'm not sure what that was all about, but there were a lot of tents in the park along Lakeshore Drive.
They've been there, and I think they're the last. They don't expect anybody to come this far north in Lakeshore. You know, they're going to stay downtown.
Yeah. So we'll see whether. Look, I mean, Chicago's still at its core a great city. I said this the other day. Like, I do hope that, you know, the weather's good and people get to enjoy and see what a great city it still is. I mean, it's got problems. It's got troubles like all big cities these days. And but there's nothing quite like it. I mean, I'm hoping to catch a game at Wrigley and, you know.
but I think one of the things that, you know, it's not quite like it because I know cops who are having to work overtime for this thing.
Oh, sure.
And they look at the weather forecasts and they see beautiful weather. Yeah. And that means they're all wearing masks. Because they're, you know, you can't not wear a mask when you're a revolutionary, and they're going to be wearing masks, and that emboldens people to do stupid things.
Well, and you know, this is one of those situations where, and it is human nature to sort of always fight the last war, and in this case, the last war was 1968, and so if anything, they're going to err on the side of not doing that, and that might create a whole other set of issues if the cops aren't as forceful as they need to be or should be, then you know you may see things get out of hand, and that wouldn't be great. That would
not going to be. There's no wood shampoo. Do you remember? You ever hear of
wood shampoo?
When I was a little kid, I was like 12, 11. I was cheering the Chicago Cops in the 68 riot. I was pro cop,
even back then. It's like in your DNA.
I used to have a crew cut. Stanley the barber used to take the red wax stick, and make my flat top stand up straight. And they would give the wood shampoo, you know, to the what are they? The world is watching those people, you know, and that's how it worked.
I've never heard that before.
I know. That's a new one on me.
Yeah.
Just rub it in there. Yeah. Get all the
cream. You mean I get you. Put them to the floor. Wood shampoo. Is that the euphemism?
The wood shampoo is like using the nightstick on the head. Right.
Gotcha.
That's dangerous. People.
Yeah.
That way. Yeah. Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we look forward to following it on Real Clip Politics, Tom, because that's always the best place to get everything. It's my first page.
Susan and Phil are going to be here. Sean Trendy will be in, driving in from Ohio. So we're going to have a full complement, our little team, and we'll be out there, you know, doing our thing. So,
and everyone listening can listen to Real Clear Politics. How's the best way to get there?
Well, so we have, we're doing a show on SiriusXM.
Right.
Every Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. And so just like we did at the RNC, we're going to be broadcasting live from the DNC, from the United Center. So 5 to 6 Central, everybody tune in. And it was a lot of fun at the RNC because we normally do it by by Zoom and we're all separate, and it was fun for everybody to be together. And it's just a much sort of more lively show when you can, you know, when I can give Carl Cannon grief in person.
If you need help,
and he gives it back. So
if you need help, I will approve all their expense accounts.
Okay? There you go.
Because the one thing about reporters when they're working, they need a lot of food, and they, because it's hard work, and they need drinks.
Yeah, they need drinks. I'm aware of that. Yeah. So anyway, so 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. And after it airs on Sirius, if people don't have satellite radio or they miss the show, it becomes a podcast that you can get on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can go to realclearpolitics.com, and we post it on the website as well. So check it out. I mean, we've been doing gangbusters, and it's, like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's me, Carl, and Andy Walworth hosting the show. It's basically the takeaway that we were doing, you know, for the last, I don't know, year and a half or 2 years. We've just taken it from a once a week thing and made it a 5-time-a-week thing.
By the way, there's a little personality coming out from Andy Walworth.
No, Andy's a funny guy.
I'm a listener, you know, and I'm just saying that you can hear it come out of him, you know.
Yeah.
President and co-founder of Real Clear Politics. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and my friend and co-host here. And for me, John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Thanks for joining us on this convention edition of the Chicago Way podcast. Man, it's good to be back at work. See you again next time.